We've been with youth and other things, whatever, so I'm excited about tonight, but I'm nervous too, because I want to try to use Wednesday nights to be about teaching, to be about Bible study. It's what it's about. But one thing kept coming over me, talking about fear. A lot of us deal with fear. Each and every one of us deal with fear. And I believe that we're not supposed to fear men and the things that happen to us. We're not supposed to fear that kind of stuff. But I believe that it has creeped into the church and it's creeped into the hearts of the people. And I'm going to read a scripture and let you be seated here. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Amen. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Scripture so clearly says, for God hath not given us fear, but has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. You may be seated. We all know that there's spirits in everything that we do. Everything that we face, everything that we battle, our journey through life, our morning sometimes wakes up with fear. Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen today? Well, what if this happens? Some people just worry themselves to death. Amen? And they call it worry, but deep down inside, it's actually fear that they're having to deal with. And fear is, the dictionary, they say it like this, is a distressing emotion aroused by impending. It means that it hasn't happened yet, but it's impending danger, evil, pain, etc., whether the threat is real or imagined. The feeling or condition of being afraid. Sometimes we deal with fear with the devil. He may come into our home. He may come into our life. He may come into even the church building here. You could be sitting on a pew and have fear, because the devil may have propped himself up on your shoulder and talking to you about all kind of different things. But Scripture says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has delivered us from the spirit of fear. Amen? When God filled you with the Holy Ghost, He delivered you from that spirit of fear. Amen. And He has given us power, love, and a sound mind. When we were set free, we no longer have the spirit of fear reigning over our lives. The Holy Ghost allows us to be free and to move freely in Him. Amen. Power comes from the Holy Ghost. We know that because the scripture, Acts 1 and 8, tells us that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, I would advise you to get the Holy Ghost, and then you got the power. Amen. Power that comes from above. It talks about love here. How many of you, it's easy to love people? 1, 2? Man, y'all are good. 3, 4, 5? Sometimes it's not too easy to love people. Amen. But the scripture tells us to walk in the Spirit. And when you're under the influence of the Spirit of God, it's easy to love people. When people come at you and they try to do you wrong, they try to talk about you, try to stab you in the back. You ever had friends like that? You ever had people like that? Co-workers like that? Amen. But the love comes from above. And as a human, I can't see myself going around loving people. But if I'm under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and if I'm under the influence of the love of God, then it becomes easy. Sister Teal, it becomes easy to love people. Now, Brother Grissom says it like this. Some people, Brother Carey, it's easy to love right here. And other people, it's easy to love from a distance. I love you, brother, as long as you stay back there. Because sometimes as they get closer and closer to you, then you got problems and you got things with them, and you know, it's hard to love them like that. But if they're from a distance, you know, long as you can keep them at that distance. Don't come any closer, man. Amen. But if we're under the influence, then that love that the scripture is talking about, it will help us. Amen. And the scripture also says, in a sound mind. This is why the scripture tells us to be sober-minded. Because if we're walking around with the problems of the world weighing on us, our minds sometimes are not sound because you're so worried about everything that's happening. Again, a lot of people say it's worrying, but most of it's fear. They fear the unknown. They fear all these different things. God didn't intend for us to walk around scared to death, holding our head down, afraid to look at anybody, afraid to talk to anybody. Amen? That's how we win people to Christ, is to be bold and to talk to them about God. You can't have fear. You may not be a open person. You may be shy. But whenever you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost, God will help you talk to anybody. Amen? Sometimes when you talk to somebody, or you want to talk to somebody, and you feel kind of intimidated. You ever felt intimidated before? Maybe your boss has a bad attitude, and you want to talk to him about the Lord and just tell him, you know what, God loves you. You know, you just want to open up and just tell him how good God is. But you might feel intimidated. You're like, well, and maybe there's, did you know that a lot of other denominations, it's sad to say this, but most of them know the Bible better than Pentecostals do. And it's sad. And sometimes you find yourself talking to them, and man, they're quoting scriptures left and right, and you feel intimidated. You're like, hold on a minute. I ain't finna talk to them about nothing about God. I mean, it's intimidation, but it's the fear of intimidation. It's the spirit of fear that Satan has put in your life. Amen. I just want to go over a couple of things of fear here tonight, but before I do that, amen. I have a trash can here. Amen. It's clean inside. I want to set it right here. Brother Dickerson, can you help me out here, please? Can you pass one of these papers out to everybody? Amen. What I want you to do on these papers here tonight is I want you to write down one thing that you fear the most. Whenever you're finished with it, at the end of the service, we're going to come up here and we're going to drop it in this trash can. And I promise you that I will not read them. Amen. Don't write your names on it. Just write the thing that you fear the most. A couple of things here. You may have a fear of public speaking, of heights, of snakes. Going to the dentist. Some people are scared to death of that. Flying, spiders and insects, enclosed spaces, mice, dogs, thunder and lightning, losing your freedom, being locked up, the unknown. Pain, disappointment, misery, loneliness, ridicule, rejection, death. A lot of people fear death because they're uncertain where they're going. They're uncertain exactly what's going to happen after. Failure. And to get a little personal, some people fear where they will spend eternity. Some people fear that if they will be ready or not when God comes back. They fear that. Maybe you fear that here tonight. Some people fear storms in their life. They're always like antsy about what's going to happen. They're just like scared to death about the next turn that's around the corner. Some people have a fear of cancer. Cancer is something that's, man, is hitting our nation hard. Every time you look around, somebody has cancer. Cancer here, skin cancer. It's crazy. It's fear that people have. People fear things so much that some people look towards suicide. You know, in this last year, more people that I know of have committed suicide than any other year, I believe. And it's because of fear. Because either they've been rejected, or they're afraid of what's going to happen, or their whole life is just weighing down on them. and they have fear. They don't know where to move. They don't know where to turn. And tonight, I hope that you don't have this fear of where you will spend eternity. I hope that you know. But there's a possibility that somebody in here may have that inside them. You know what? I'm not sure exactly if I'm going to make it or not. They always say that the thing you fear the most will most of the time be the thing that kills you. My mom was scared to death and had a fear of drowning. And that's how she passed away. She drowned to death. So if you have a fear of where you will spend eternity, or maybe you have a fear, maybe the devil's been talking to you and saying, hey, do you really have the Holy Ghost? How many of you have ever had that happen before? A devil talked to you? He's talked to me about that. Matter of fact, in the last couple of weeks, he's been talking to me about that. And it's something that some people fear. Well, do I really have the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you how to deal with that. Anybody know? How do you deal with that? Speak in tongues more often. That way you can say, you know what, Satan? I do have the Holy Ghost. I do have the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you do that by being in the presence of the Lord. Amen. He'll take away that fear that you have. He'll take away any fear that's in your life. Amen. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Bible says, fear not, little flock. He calls us little flock. I like that. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But we have to do what first? Fear not. There's a lot of things in this world that we're fearing now. Gay marriage, homosexuality, it's crazy. It's everywhere. I was on Facebook the other night and I deleted a person because of all the stuff that they were putting on there. I mean, it made me sick. There was these two guys on there and they were singing, if I was a Disney princess, I would marry this Arabian dude. Remember, two guys. And after about 30 seconds of it, I cut it off. I mean, it was just pathetic. Then on this other one, it was like, well, if I was a Disney princess, I would live with seven men. It's just horrible. And this stuff is filling our world. It's filling our world. You ever heard of a city called Sodom and Gomorrah? When the angels of the Lord went into the city, they tried to take them. Give us those men so we can have our way with them. Sick people. It's what's happening today. We don't know what's happening overseas. There's going to be a war or not. I was reading the other day that our battleships and our ships, that a lot of them, they're having to look to foreign carriers to help them in training. That's sad. That the United States of America would be looking at some other foreign nation to help us at sea. We should be the biggest, baddest people out there. Amen? But it's sad to read all this stuff. And some people have fear and they're like, oh my goodness, well, what's going to happen? Most of it is the fear of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. But I want you tonight to write down whatever fear you have, whether it's fear of not going to heaven, whatever your fear is. And I want you to put it in here and we're going to throw it away. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God to remove that fear from your mind, from your heart, that it won't come against you anymore. Amen? Amen? Because the devil will use that to his advantage. He'll try to trip you up. When you're sitting in church, he'll pop that thought in your mind. How many of you have been sitting in church before and you've had this thought pop in your mind and you're just like, man, where did that come from? You know what that is? It's the enemy shooting those fiery darts at you. Amen. He's always on the attack. He's got his imps just running around all over the place trying to attack us. Because if he can make you slip, a Christian, an adult, and if he can bring down your thought process, amen, how are you going to teach your kids? If you're not on your A game, How are you going to teach your kids? How are you going to show them how to worship in church? Amen? How are you going to show them how to stand up and be like a man Father's Day? Amen. And raise your hands and pray out loud to the Lord. Lord, help us tonight. Our kids need to see that. But if you're so bombarded with fear because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say, you know, we should not have peer pressure in church. But so many times we deal with peer pressure. Sister Everett, sometimes you may be afraid to raise your hand at a certain time because of what somebody else will say. Or maybe the person that's sitting beside you, you know, you don't want to really get crunk for the Lord because, you know, you're not sure exactly how they're going to act. Well, you shouldn't be worried about them. If that's a problem for you, you need to move. Amen. Move seats. Move up here at the front. Amen. Stop playing, Brother Bacon. Amen. Luke 21 and 25. Through 28. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for what? For fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. There are people in churches, preachers and pastors, Sunday school teachers, musicians that deal with fear. And sometimes they can't really live for the Lord like they want to because that fear has them bound. That fear of man. Well, what is this person going to say about me? Or what is this person going to say about me? You know, if I'm at work and I'm eating something, you know, I'm going to pray while nobody's looking. Jesus, let me pray, man. Bless this food. You know, I don't want to make a big scene. No, Lord, bless this food. Because of fear of what the other guys will say. How about say, you know what? I need to pray. You don't have to make a big scene. But if you pray, sometimes they'll be quiet. They'll honor that. And they'll start looking at you as somebody different. And they'll say, you know what, man? There's something different about you. You used to be like this, Jeff Adams, but now you're like this. Why is that? They'll start asking you that question. Well, Brother Dickerson, you were addicted to drugs for 8 years. How did all of a sudden you change and start living for God, you know, and how'd you do that? Because of God. Because now I'm under the influence of Jesus Christ. Amen. But fear of what men will say sometimes keeps us bound. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6. And I like this scripture. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There's going to come a day when things are going to happen to us in our life. The Bible says, Jesus said, that if they persecuted me and they hated me, what are they going to do to you? For Christ's name's sake. If you say that you follow Christ, amen, there is no telling what's coming. The scripture right here. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I don't know about you, but I like to have a helper. Amen. And I will not, I will maybe if everything's going fine in my life or if I have a lot of money in my bank account or if my kids are healthy and I'm healthy and everything's going great. No, it says, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I told you before, the government may come in here and say, this church has to do this, this, and this. And we're either going to have to say, okay. Or we're either going to have to say, you know what? The Word of God says that we shouldn't do that, and we're not going to do that. I'm sorry. We'll shut this church down before that happens. Amen. And we'll go underground somewhere. Amen. If they come here and say, hey, preacher man, if you don't preach this, if you don't stop preaching this and stop doing this, we're going to throw you in prison. Amen. Which brings me to my next verse here. Revelations chapter 2 and verse number 10. For none of these things shalt thou, none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. When I was reading that earlier, I thought it said tired, and I was like, I'm already tired. But that we may be tried, and we shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Fear none of these things. There's things going to happen. Things going to come our way. Things are happening right now to some of you. You can't have fear. You can't have the spirit of fear. Amen. If we will remove the spirit of fear from our life, how much more great things can we do for God? Amen. If we come into the house of the Lord and don't worry about who's here, don't matter about who's up here singing, but you get your praise on. Amen. When things come at you in your life, you get fear. Get rid of it. Amen. We don't need that in our lives. We don't need that in our church. Amen. We don't need that in our church. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Again, where does our love come from? It comes from Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. But we cannot have fear. There is no fear in love. Do you love? Do you love people? Do you love God? Amen. You can't have fear. You can't have the spirit of fear that holds you down. Some of you may fear like something that the Lord has delivered you from it. And you're fearing that there's a possibility that you might get back in it. Somebody here may be fearing, well, Brother Bacon, I don't want to give my everything to God because I might not be able to give up what he wants me to give up. Amen. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. A lot of churches does not understand the fear of the Lord. We were just talking about the fear of men and the fear of life and things that are happening. Now we're going to move over to the fear of the Lord. This is a vital and significant part of a victorious life. The man who fears God, we've got a couple of things here, probably about 10. He begins to know him and understand his ways. He is led in the ways of God and blessed by him. He will have his days prolonged by God. He will have strong confidence in a place of refuge in God. He will have perfect holiness as he walks with the Lord. He is protected by the angels of the Lord. Again, this is somebody who has fear in the Lord. Will want nothing because God will be his source. How many of you are like that? You will want nothing because you fear God. And you know that God's going to take care of you. He is our source. He's our help. Amen. Everything that we need, he's there. He's there for us. He supports us. Amen. He's like a dad working with his little son, you know, working on something, and he's trying to teach him something. He keeps dropping something, but the dad is, you know, right there to help him. Pick the hammer back up. Pick the nails back up for him. That's how God is. He knows that you're going to make mistakes. He knows that you're going to trip up and that you're going to fall, and that you may have things that you're worried about in life and that you fear in life. Amen. But he is our source of help. Amen. We will want nothing because God will be our source. We will be covered by his mercy. Amen. We will have strength to depart from evil. A man who fears God will have the strength to depart from evil. Amen. Those who do not fear God become familiar with His Spirit, His Word, and His church. Sometimes being familiar with something is not good. Because if you become too accustomed to it, it just becomes like something natural. Lord, I expect it to happen. It's going to happen right now. You become familiar with it. You lose the proper perspective of God. You behave irrelevant around the things of God and His house. You lose the lifestyle distinctives that should mark a child of God. In other words, our dress, our talk, our walk. Amen. If you don't fear God, you will lose those things. You will lose the respect for the man of God and the saints of God. And eventually, you will fall into ungodly behavior because the fence of fear is gone. Not talking about the fear of man, talking about the fear of God. Amen. If you do not walk in the fear of the Lord, you are walking in the fear of man. There is no other option. It's one or the other. You walking in the fear of the Lord, or are you walking in the fear of man? Amen. The fear of man brings a snare and a trap, which takes us away from the power to do right. You can read that in Proverbs 29 and 25. A person who fears man will offend the one he cannot see in order to not offend the one that he can see. In other words, if he's talking to somebody, he don't mind offending his brother over here to satisfy this one right here. Have you ever had somebody stab you in the back? Maybe Two-Face. They're nice to you in front of you, and then behind your back, man, they're talking about you. Amen. Those who fear men constantly seek to preserve and to protect themselves in times of hardship. They become selfish. Those who fear men. The fear of the Lord is a necessary part of the apostolic church. Leviticus 10 and 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is what the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. I don't know about you, but when Moses would have said that, this is what the Lord is saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, I would have asked Moses, hey, how do I come nigh to the Lord? How do I get closer to him? But Aaron says that it held his peace. If you read it in the New King James Version, by those who came near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. Again, I would have been asking, hey, Moses, how do I get close to God? You know, you always get to talk to the Lord. When I get to talk to him, when I get to draw close to him, amen. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes we don't ask God to do things in our life because we're afraid of what he'll say. Or what he'll say, hey, it's called conviction. Everybody know what that is? Conviction. And God will speak something on you and he'll lay it on your heart and it'll be something heavy. And once you get rid of it, that feeling goes away. And then when you start thinking about it again, it comes back. You know better. You better leave it alone. That conviction will eat you alive. But sometimes we don't ask God for things because we're afraid of what he'll ask of us. That's good, Brother Bacon. Amen. God often withholds his glory to test and to prepare us. We will serve him even when he is silent. Sometimes you pray and God don't answer your prayer. Sometimes he's just waiting just to prepare you, to let you go through that trial or through that test. And you can't, you feel like a million miles from the Lord. I know you felt like that before. Some of you feel like that tonight. But let me just reassure you that God is right here. Scripture says that he's as close as the mention of his name. But just know that sometimes he's going to let you walk a little bit. I mean, if you have a little infant child up here that's trying to learn to walk, if you're sitting there holding him and, you know, walking with him, he's not going to learn. But you let him on his own, he'll fall down a couple of times. He may even bust his lip. He may even break a bone. But after a while, he's going to learn to walk on his own. Sometimes God does us like that. He's like, you know what? This time, I'm going to be right here with you. But let's just see how you do on your own. Amen? Sometimes he withholds his glory to test and to prepare us. Amen. In Exodus chapter 15, the Israelites were very, very excited when God had blessed them and he performed miracles. The Bible says that they sang and they danced and they shouted when God buried their enemies in the Red Sea. But just a few days later, God's power wasn't apparent to them and they couldn't see it. And food started getting scarce. So they started complaining against God. Just because they couldn't see the things that were happening. Talking about fearing the Lord here tonight. It's important for us to fear God. To have a certain respect for God. Matter of fact, to have the utmost respect for God. Amen. I don't know how true this is, but I had heard before that in the old days, as they were writing with the scrolls and so on and so forth, and they had the little ink things that they had to dip, that every time that they would write the name Jehovah, they would have to lay down their pen, go in their room, change a different kind of clothing, and come back in. And they would continue writing. And as they got to Jehovah again, they would write it, put their pen down, because it was something that they honored so much. It was the name. And we know that name. Amen? And so many people use that name in vain. It tears me up to hear somebody say that. Cursing like that and using God's name in vain? Man, hold on a minute. Even when I was at the worst of states, I don't believe I ever used that. I mean, I was already in bad shape, Sister Everett. I was already out there sinning when I knew that I shouldn't be. And I didn't want to add any more on there. Amen. But the people started complaining. In Exodus 19 and 20, Moses brought the people to the Mount Sinai to consecrate them to God. When the people saw God's glory, they pulled back in terror. They feared. Not in the fear of God, but in the fear of them own selves. When God came down, they realized that they loved themselves a little bit more than they loved the presence of God. They told Moses, "You speak with us, but let not God speak with us." Have we ever feared ourselves before? When I was out there acting crazy, man, I didn't know what I was going to do from one day to the next. I had fear. I didn't know if I was going to snap on somebody, you know, take somebody's head off. I didn't know. Some of y'all fear yourselves. And every morning you get up, brush your teeth, brush your hair, whatever. You got to look at that person in the mirror. And sometimes when you see that person, fear comes over you. Because you know what that person used to be. You know what that person used to do. Sometimes you have fear. Because again, you don't know at any moment if you're going to go back that direction. I pray that you never go back. Amen. We all know there's nothing to go back to. Amen. It's almost like a dog that eats and eats and eats and vomits, goes off a little while, and before too long, he's right back there eating the same thing that made him sick. Sometimes that's how Christians are. They're like, "Well, you know what, God, thank you for delivering me from so-and-so." And it's not very long at all. They're out there doing the same thing again. Amen. But they told Moses, they said, "You speak with us, but let not God speak with us." Because they had fear of their self. Amen. Moses drew near while the people drew back. Moses feared God, therefore he was unafraid. The people did not fear God, therefore they were afraid. Amen. The fear of the Lord draws us like a magnet to God's presence. The fear of man causes us to withdraw from God's glory. Again, sometimes we find ourselves, when we walk into the house of the Lord, sometimes we have a fear of being in the presence of God, and that you enjoy the company of a fellow brother or sister more than you do the presence of God. And I would ask you this question: why do you come to church then? Amen. Because every one of us in here are adults. We made a choice whether to come to church tonight. Amen. Anybody forced to come? No? Anybody came on your own? Amen. Thank you for being here. Sometimes we enjoy the company of brothers and sisters more than we do the company of God and His presence. It's not really a fear that we have of God, but it's a fear of ourselves, because God might ask us to do something. God might ask us to change, and we're not ready to change. When we are bound by the fear of man, we will feel more comfortable in the presence of men. Amen. We all know that His presence convicts us. Things that we shouldn't be doing. Things that we should be doing. I thank God for His conviction. The things that He puts on our lives. Amen. In Exodus 19 and 24, God instructed both Moses and Aaron to come up to the mountain. Notice this right here. He instructed Moses and Aaron to come up to the mountain. Moses went, but for some reason Aaron came back to camp early. If you read Exodus 32 and verse number 1, it talks about Aaron coming back early. Aaron returned to the camp because he was more comfortable in the presence of the people than in the presence of God. It wasn't really a fear of God or a fear of man, but it was a fear of himself. He had something that was on the inside that he knew if he got too close to God that something would show. Amen. Again, I've said this before. I'm right in the boat with you that if we had some kind of machine that would read your mind and read your thought process, and Brother Tim, every thought that you had, it was posted up on here. Amen. A lot of people wouldn't come to church because of it. Amen. Because we don't want to know what each other's thinking. Because if I knew what Brother Wesley was thinking, I might have bad feelings toward him. Be like, man, you know, you're in church, bro. Why are you thinking like that? And then at the same time, he might get upset at me for the thoughts that I have sometimes. Amen. Vice versa. But we wouldn't want everybody in the church knowing what we're thinking and our thought process. But sometimes we fear when we come into the presence of God because of the fact that we know that His conviction is going to hit us. Amen. So when we come into the house of the Lord, we're more comfortable chit-chatting with our friends. Yeah, we come to the house of the Lord, but have we really and truly committed our everything to God? Amen. Let's stand tonight. Exodus 32 and 17. God seeks for men like Joshua, who wanted to be as close to God's presence as possible. The Bible says that he stayed by the mountain for 40 days while Moses was with God. God is looking for people like that who don't have fear in their life. They fear God. They fear the Lord. But they're not afraid because they know that their help comes from above. They know that anything that they need, amen, God's going to take care of. There's a question that God is asking us tonight. Isaiah 57 and verse number 11. And I'm going to wait for Brother Carey to put this one up. Isaiah 57 and 11. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied or hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thine heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not. It's important for us to fear God. Amen. And whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied? Sometimes we lie to people. We put on a front in front of people because we don't want anybody to know what's on the inside. And again, even when we come to church, we want to be in the presence of the Lord so bad. We see our brothers and our sisters shouting around, having a good time. But we're so afraid to completely give our everything to God because of fear is holding us back. Amen. For those of you who have wrote something on your paper, amen, I would ask that you would bring it up here at this time. And let's throw that fear away. That fear that you have in your life. Amen. Let's get it out of your life. Let's destroy it. Amen. The title of my message tonight was, "You Will Serve Who You Fear." You will serve who you fear. If you serve and if you fear men, then you will serve men. And your mind will be so cramped up about things that's happening in life, and it'll be so loaded down with the problems of this life. But if you fear God, then you'll be completely honest with Him. You'll be able to let Him completely have control of your life. Amen. Amen. Question for you tonight. Does God have to continually impress you so that you will fear Him? Some people only move whenever God does something. Whenever God moves, then they'll be like, okay, now it's time for me to give Him praise. Can we not give Him praise just because of who He is? The question has been asked before. Amen. If God stopped blessing you, could you still live for Him? Could you still give Him glory? Could you still give Him honor for the things that He's already done for you? 8 years addicted to drugs, my brother. I'm thankful for God delivering you. Brother Jeff Adams, God brought you a long way, my brother. He brought me a long way. Brother Eves, God brought you a long way. I don't know your whole story and whole past. I don't need to. All I need to see is right now, amen, you living for God. Amen. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. But if He stopped blessing you right now, could you thank Him for what He's done in the past and be able to live for Him? Does God have to always do miraculous things and move for you to fear Him? Amen. My last question for tonight is, do you esteem His desire above your own? His desire is for us to just live for Him and to just be a part of Him, to communicate with Him. How hard is that? To have a relationship with God above things of this world. Amen. But sometimes we fear and we have this black cloud over us that we can't move because we're afraid of what somebody's going to say. Or we have this fear possibly of, well, I'm not sure exactly if I'm going to make it to heaven or not. Or, well, I'm not sure if I really have the Holy Ghost. Or, you know, I'm really not sure if I'm saved. Well, tonight is your opportunity to get completely rid of that fear that you have. And between you and God, to get everything taken care of tonight. We all have fears. Amen. But Carrie, I'm scared to death of snakes. Most of them, when you walk up on them, they're going to run away. When I heard that Brother Dickerson had a copperhead or rattler at his house in a cage, man, crazy. My wife is terrified of snakes or of spiders. The other night, I was in there on the couch, and she came in there with all the sheets and the blankets and stuff, and boy, she was headed in there. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I found a spider on the bed. I can't find him now." So she got all the sheets, covers, and everything, taking them in the laundry room. She's terrified of spiders. Amen. But we shouldn't fear things in life. The Bible says that He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power from the Holy Ghost, of love from the love that He gives us and that He showed us. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him would have everlasting life and not perish." Amen. That's not exactly how it is, but amen. And then we should have a sound mind. How many of you know that at nighttime your mind never sleeps? You're having dreams and stuff, and it's thinking, it's all over the place. Sometimes we have so many problems in our life and we have so many fears that our mind is just, I mean, you feel like you ain't slept a wink because your mind's been running all night. I pray sometimes, "Lord, let me have a dream. Let me have a vision. Let me have something at night. Because I sleep like a baby, Jeff." Amen. It may be raining outside, thundering outside, just banging on the doors. I sleep right through every bit of it. And it's because I have a sound mind. I don't worry about problems in life. My wife's always like, "Well, what about this? Don't worry about it. What about this? Don't let it go. Don't worry about it. Don't fear the things of this world." Amen. Because our Lord is our help and our strength. Why should we fear about stuff? If you have a fear and a respect for God, amen, you're not going to be afraid of God because you have fear for Him. But you know that He's here to love you and to help you. Just like a father is with a kid. Brother, I was seeing you the other night. When your son was over here getting the Holy Ghost, you were just so, just the Holy Ghost was all over Brother Dickerson. What an awesome thing to see your kid be filled with the Holy Ghost and be baptized in the name of Jesus. We feel like that about our children. How do you think God feels when one of you come before Him and say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins"? Brother Everett, Sunday night, said, "You know what? All of heaven right now is shut down, and they're all listening to Landon speak in tongues." But God loves His children. The Bible says that He gave His life for us. Amen. You didn't give your life for Landon. You probably would. All of us have kids and grandkids. We would like to think that we would give our life for them, but God gave His life for us. We shouldn't fear things that's going to happen to us. I know it's easy right now when nothing's going on and everything is going straight. Oh man, I don't have any fear. Let something come at you and see what happens. That's why it's always good to be ready, to be prepared for what's going to come. Amen. But I believe that this fear tonight that we've put in this basket, amen. I believe that God is going to take this fear away from each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And that you can live in freedom. You don't have to worry about some kind of addiction that you might have. Some kind of problems in your life. Or maybe if you're going to make it to heaven or not. Again, if you wrote that on here and you're unsure, I'd be at this altar right now, praying, making sure that I'm ready. Amen. These altars are open tonight if you want to come pray. If you want to pray right where you're at. Lord God, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for the power, the love, and the sound mind that You have given us. We ask You tonight, God, these fears that we have put in this trash, that it's going to be destroyed. God, we would ask in the name of Jesus that You would take these fears from our life. Let us live our life in freedom, God. Let us not have any problems with the things of this world or the things to come. We have no idea, God, what's coming down the pike, what's going to happen. But we ask You in Jesus' name that You would help us not to have fear. Not to have fear to come into Your presence, God. Whatever You want us to do, whatever you want us to give up, whatever you want us to change, whatever desire, God, that you have for us, we would ask tonight, God, that your will would be done in our life. Your will, God, is what we desire, no matter what the cost is, Lord God. If we have something that we hold dearly to, we ask that you would help us. If it's something that you want us to get rid of, help us to say goodbye to it. Don't let us be like the rich man when he came to you and said, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" You said to sell all and give to the poor. The man turned around and walked away. Help us not to be like that, God. In the name of Jesus tonight, help us to have fear for you, to love and to respect you, God, to reverence your house. In the name of Jesus, to teach our children, teach our family members about you, to not be afraid, God, of what men will do or men will say. It's easy for us to say this right now, God, because we're in your presence and we're surrounded by people of like faith. But on my job tomorrow, God, I ask that you help me. Help me, God, to not be afraid to speak up and to talk about you. To let people know what great things you have done in my life, God, and in return that you can do in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.